the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Millions of Americans are mobilizing to vote. And as a matter of fact, millions already have voted. And reports coming from across the country indicate that it could be a very high turnout for a midterm election. We'll just have to wait and see. And already all the political prognosticators are out. This is the great season for the talking heads who are going to be out there for the next several hours telling you what they think is going to happen. Of course, it may be not only tonight, but tomorrow, maybe even after that, before we really know what has happened. Let's remember that we're talking about the organization and administration of millions of citizens going to thousands of different places to vote with all kinds of different technologies. And one of the interesting things about the actual mechanics of democracy is that it is not an easy thing to organize an electoral process like this in order for a transcontinental nation to be able to report in a reasonably short amount of time on the results of elections. It's something of a miracle that that we do have election results as quickly as we do. So I find it interesting. There are a lot of Americans out there right now who are saying, well, we'll go to bed tonight knowing which party is going to control Congress and what's going to be the future direction of the country on that basis, et cetera, et cetera. Probably not. But it will be interesting to see. And those who seem to be the most well-informed about such things are suggesting that there are some leading races to watch that may give an indication of what will be coming tonight. The states of Indiana and Kentucky closed their polls earlier. And so it'll be interesting to see from those two states whether there's a bellwether pattern developing or whether it's going to be a very, very long night. Let me just at this point remind you once again of your responsibility to vote. And in all 50 states, there is still time to vote right now. So as you're listening to my voice, if you have not exercised your responsibility to vote, there is still time. And it is your responsibility. I speak especially to Christians. It is your responsibility to fulfill your citizenship in order to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, your vote as a way of being a participant in this American democracy. Now, let me tell you what we're going to be talking about today. Out there all over America, people are trying to talk about who's going to win this race and who's going to win that race. We have been really watching the most incredible play out of the political process. And I have met so many people who just are tired of how ugly it is, how intense it is, especially in these last several days. It seems like the negative advertising and all the rest has really come on in a fast and furious way. I want to go back and ask a fundamental question. I don't want to talk today about how you voted. I don't want to talk today about prognostications about which party is going to control Congress. I don't want to talk about the 2008 presidential race. I don't want to talk about politics in terms of what we're going to find out in the next day or so. I want to talk about politics at a completely different level. I want to know why you think people vote as they do. I want you to put yourself in the place of an analyst, and I want us to do some worldview analysis about why people would vote as they do. What does our vote say about us and our deepest commitments? What is revealed about us when we vote? Now, very interestingly, we need to recognize that the big decisions of our lives and the decisions that are just a part and feature everyday life reveal who we are. We reveal something of our commitments about how we shop, how we do business. We say something about our deepest commitments about our involvements in civic life, about who our friends are and where we go and what entertainment we involve ourselves in. But our vote says a great deal about us. I want to ask the question, where do we see the clash of worldviews in America today? It's not simply a blue state, red state issue. It's not simply a Democratic, Republican issue. It's not simply a liberal, conservative issue. Where do we show our deepest ideological, spiritual, theological worldview commitments in the political process? How does that get translated into vote? Because let me tell you, I think there are a lot of people out there, and I know that people on both sides are going to be looking at this. I start to say I don't care. I do care. But it's simply a fact. There are going to be people on both sides of the ideological worldview divide who are going to say, I don't understand why the other side does as it does, believes as it believes, votes as it votes, etc. Let's do a little worldview analysis. Out there, while everybody's trying to do the precinct-by-precinct analysis, they're trying to figure out the voting patterns. Let's talk about the belief patterns. Let's talk about what really underlies the political process. I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. To join us, call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. For instance, let me just give you an example of the kind of conversation I think is really worth having today. If someone says, you know, I'm simply fed up with the war in Iraq, what are they really saying about their understanding of our responsibility in the world, their understanding of right and wrong, their understanding of the use of force, their understanding of war? You know, I think we're into some very interesting stuff here. I think we're finding out what the American people are made of. And I think it is important for us as Christians to do that kind of analysis to figure out what's going on. Out there, there are people, for instance, in the state of Missouri, a big initiative having to do with embryonic stem cell research. What does your vote on that really say? You know, what does it say about your understanding of human dignity and human life? There are other states where marriage issues are very much on the line. What does it say? What is your commitment? What do you really believe about life and truth and meaning and authority when it comes down to your vote to protect marriage as the union of a man and a woman, or to open it up to same-sex marriage or anything else? I think we need to talk about what's really going on, because it's a lot bigger than politics. Politics is where the worldviews show up. It's not where the worldviews start. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. First, a review of a few of the issues in the news. Biomedical ethical issues are back in a big time, because it looks like there are now some doctors who are arguing that it's okay to use persons in vegetative states as human subjects for experimentation. Wesley J. Smith, writing in the San Francisco Chronicle, says that there are now some doctors who are ready to move in this direction. Many bioethicists, he says, would feel right at home in a world in which unconscious people are converted into mere biological machines. Indeed, some of our most prominent bioethical and philosophical thinkers have published articles in the world's most respected medical and bioethical journals proposing that unconscious patients, those diagnosed in a persistent vegetative state, be used both as vital organ donors and the subjects of human medical experimentation. Now, interestingly, Dr. Smith points to the novel Hunters of Dune as a fictional depiction of what happens when persons, clones made from the dead, are used as this kind of experimental being, as this kind of organ donation source. It's really, really very frightening, and what makes it particularly frightening is that Dr. Smith is right. Georgetown University bioethicist Robert Veach wrote several years ago this. He wrote, "The essence of human existence is the presence of an integrated mind and body. For the human to exist in any legal, moral, or socially significant sense, these two features must be present." In other words, Dr. Veach at Georgetown University, that's an historically Catholic university, Dr. Veach is arguing that it should be allowable if the mind is no longer fully integrated with the body, and that's evidently what he's implying with a vegetative state, for this person to be used as a source for donor organs or as a laboratory for medical experimentation. That is really very scary. By the way, as you try to think about that issue, scary as it is, of bioethicists and doctors arguing for the use of human beings in vegetative states as medical experiments and donors for organs, remember the news that came out just last month that an 11-year-old Oregon boy who entered a coma after he was diagnosed with a mysterious illness awakened from a persistent vegetative state. Devon Rivers is the boy's name, and he was moved to a pediatric nursing center. He received daily physical therapy. Doctors were telling his family that he was in a persistent vegetative state with little or no hope of recovery, but he is now trying to talk. He is conscious. He's been saying, "Mama." And it's very interesting here. It is clear that it looks like he's on his way back. By the way, this boy that was in a persistent vegetative state is now shooting a small basketball through a hoop. He listens to a book being read to him. He wants to see pictures, and he plays with a remote control car. Now, remember, there are some doctors we just read about who are suggesting that this boy could have been the subject of medical experimentation, because they argued that in a persistent vegetative state, his mind is no longer integrated with his body, he's no longer fully human, and he could have been used in this way. Furthermore, some of these same ethicists are saying that it would be perfectly ethical to use persons in a vegetative state as the donors for organs, just use them as sources for donor organs. What if they had done this 11-year-old boy, right now, shooting a basketball through little hoops, playing with a remote control car, and liking to hear stories read to him? Folks, we're living in a very real world where very real political decisions lead to very real consequences. It's a frightening thing to think about where this country could go. Frankly, it's a frightening thing to think about where we have already gone. Political decisions are the manifestation of prior commitments. That's where we find out where our worldview really leads. No one walks into the voting booth. No one casts a single vote without, in doing so, reflecting what he or she most deeply believes. We're going to talk about how we trace that back, why it's important, and while the pundits and the pollsters are out there trying to figure out exit polls and all the rest, we're going to talk about what this means long-term, getting literally to the heart of the matter. The phone number is 877-893-8255. We'll be right back. All right, let's remember the ground rules here. We're not talking about who we voted for. We're not talking about our partisan hopes overnight. We're not talking about what's going to happen, who's going to control Congress. We're talking about what's revealed about the American people by how they vote. This is the place for intelligent Christian conversation. We're going to try to take this apart and realize that our vote is like an X-ray. It diagnoses something very important about us, and that is worldview. Now, that's not to say that we can always have a perfect picture working backwards, because we are human beings made up of composite parts. You know, we're emotion, we're intellect, and all the rest. And who knows? I mean, I think we'd be frightened to know why some Americans vote for other candidates. Do you know that the candidate listed first in an election where there are two gets 2 percentage points from being first? That's a very interesting issue. In other words, some people just go in and vote for the first name on the ballot. That's a weird thing right there. I hesitate to think how many people vote for a candidate because they like the way he looks or they like the way he sounds. That's a part of the human equation. That's a part of what goes on. That's not a part of what we're talking about today. I'm talking about today ideologically, theologically, philosophically. In talking about worldview, why do people vote as they vote? The phone number is 877-893-8255. What are we going to find out overnight, not about who controls Congress, but about what controls the American heart? Let's go to Sharon calling from Hastings, Nebraska, listening on KMMJ. Go ahead, Sharon.
I think one of the things that guides us for voting is wanting to be on the winning team. And if I agree with a candidate, if I don't think he's going to win, I may not vote for him. That's what I hear from a lot of people that I talk to. It's not the way I think.
Well, Sharon, I'm glad to hear that's not the way you think. And by the way, you're right. And that's called momentum voting. In other words, there are people who say, I want to be with the candidate who wins. Kind of like the fact they want to be with the team who wins in a football game or something. And so they'll simply, try to vote where they think the momentum's going. You say that's not the way you vote. Sharon, what are the principles, the worldview principles that guide, well, what's revealed in your vote? If we saw how you voted, and I'm not asking, but if we saw how you voted, what would it say about your deepest commitments?
Then I look at the way an individual feels about specific events, specific issues, things like our borders, abortion, their demonstrated values, how they define is, things like that, important things.
Yeah, that is an important thing, Sharon, and then that's an interesting list right there. In other words, if we saw your vote, we would know that you have some worldview commitments about issues like immigration, you mentioned abortion, and let's just say absolute truth and character. Going back to the question, it all depends on what is means, and that has to go down as one of the most infamous questions in American history. Thanks for your call, Sharon. It's great to hear from Hastings, Nebraska. Sharon started the discussion. She told us what she thinks would be revealed if we could see how she voted. Let's go to McEwing, Tennessee, where Jeremy's on the line, listening on WHCB. Go ahead, Jeremy. We got a beep from Jeremy. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, where Eric's on the line, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, Dr. Mueller. I think it reveals that which is most valuable to the voter. For example, if the self is most valuable, they're going to lean their vote that way. What benefits them the most? I vote from an absolute truth value, and so I'm going to vote that direction. For example, the responsibility to take care of widows and orphans, therefore I will vote in a way that will protect, unborn children.
Yeah, okay, that is a very interesting point right there. So it's interesting that as Sharon spoke, and now, Eric, as you're speaking, you're saying that you see the sanctity and dignity of human life being reflected in an election like this. And so you would suggest, I don't want to put words in your mouth, I'm just asking here, you're suggesting that if we saw your voting pattern, we ought to be able to discern that this is a man who believes that protecting unborn human life is really important. Is that right?
Oh, that's absolutely true. Yes, sir.
All right. That's very important, Eric. I really appreciate your call, and obviously I sympathize with your position there. Let's just think of how the dignity and sanctity of human life are on the agenda in this election. And again, we're not doing precinct by precinct, state by state prognostications. Let's just look at the moral issues that are at stake. In the state of Missouri, this initiative having to do with therapeutic human cloning, they're trying to call it somatic nuclear cell transfer, but it's the same thing. They're trying to suggest that it's something other than human cloning. But the reality is that if this measure passes, the state of Missouri will be, as a state, creating human embryos in order to destroy them. Human dignity very much on the line. We also have the issue of judges, the issue of Roe v. Wade, the issue of partial birth abortion. It's right before the Supreme Court tomorrow. And so by our vote, we're saying what's most important to us about that. And, of course, at this point, we've been talking about sanctity of human life issues from time to time in other elections and in other places, even in some locales right now, issues such as euthanasia and other life policies could be on the line. The state of Oregon put it on the line in an election just a few years ago, and you can expect that kind of thing is going to be a part of the issues creep in your state as well. All right, let's go to Aaron calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, Dr. Mueller, I was just adding on to what's important to us, the guy that just called in. I just got off a conversation with a guy. He was debating with me, and he said that money's his issue, money's his life, and that's how he's going to vote, and it just threw me way off guard.
That's a fascinating thing, Aaron. Hang in with me here for a minute. Let me ask you, how does that translate? Let's say that money is the most important thing in your life. How does that translate into a vote with this fellow you were talking to?
That he was going to vote the economy issues and what was best for him in life and to make his money and all that stuff.
You're kind of surprised by his candor?
Yeah, just that somebody would just completely disregard all the, well, I guess the important things in my life, like other people.
Yeah. Well, Aaron, I share your shock in that, but I'm not shocked that he is that way. I'm shocked that he was so upfront to say that. I think that's what makes it interesting. The phone number to join this conversation, the question, what is most important in the voting pattern? What does this election tell us about the worldview of Americans? Not looking at that, the American Congress, just look at the American heart right now. The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Just a few years ago, a writer by the name of Thomas Frank wrote a book entitled What's Wrong with Kansas, or What's the Matter with Kansas? And his point was that there are people in Kansas who are voting, he was suggesting, the wrong way. Now, the way they were voting is this. Kansas used to be a very Democratic state. It became a largely Republican state. And the issue had a lot to do with social questions, having to do with abortion and related issues. And Thomas Frank said, look, these people are voting against their own interest. He said that these people who are voting on those issues are voting against their own pocketbooks. Now, just take what Aaron was just talking about. You really are making a decision here. If we believe that issues like abortion, euthanasia, marriage, and all this, that they really are paramount, that means we've decided they're more important than the money questions. That's a big issue. And frankly, I think it's an issue that that could be fairly new in American history. I don't think people had to think about that in the voting pattern in the 1950s or the 1940s, not to mention the 1860s. Now it's a very, very different equation. Now virtually every election on a national basis or a congressional election in midterm elections, you know you're going to face questions of life and death, human dignity, the sanctity of human life, abortion, embryonic stem cell research, euthanasia. It's all there. And really, in every one of these elections now, we are also facing basic questions about marriage and about the regulation of sexuality in this culture. Are you like me? Do you sometimes wonder what your grandparents, if they're not now alive, you know, like mine, have been dead for the better part of about 30 years? You know, I wonder what they would think if they came back and saw some of the issues we debate today. And that's fairly recent history. I don't think they would have the equipment to know how to deal with this in terms of applying the worldview because they didn't have to think about these things. Well, wake up. We've got to think about them because these are real live issues that are reflected in real live elections that are translated into real life decisions that become the policies that govern the life of this nation. That's an incredible thing when you think about it. We as Christians are supposed to be the people that can draw the line from worldview to decision. That's what we're doing on this program, and we'll be right back.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
What's at stake in election 2006? Well, our worldview is at stake. We're really going to find out what Americans believe, at least what they believe when they go into the voting booth. Eight states are dealing with initiatives having to do with the definition of marriage. Four states are dealing with issues related to abortion. Every single state is dealing with the election of members of Congress that will help to determine the future of this country, especially in the Senate when it comes to the confirmation of judges and all the rest. We're going to find out what Americans are really concerned about. Is it Iraq? Is it the economy? Is it immigration? Is it abortion? Marriage? You name it. We're going to find out. The question today is, what will we discover about the American heart, the American mind, out of this election? Let's trace the issue back to the worldview, because we're the people who know that the worldview is not only important, it's determinative. Let's go to Carrie, listening on WHCB. Go ahead, Carrie.
Hello. I believe, Dr. Mohler, that one of the most revealing or telltale signs of a true Christian heart is how we vote. I think it tells a lot about us. I think so often, the Christian, the churchgoer, will vote along party lines regardless of the implication, the moral or biblical implication of doing that. And sometimes it's difficult to even find the candidate on either side that actually represents what a true Christian or biblical point of view would have.
Well, that's right. There's no doubt about that, that in many cases you have a difficult decision to make based upon, for instance, two candidates. You also have two parties, and when it comes to Congress, you have, you know, how do you weigh the question of control of the Congress over against this specific candidate? There are a lot of complicating things there. Carrie, let me ask you, when you talk about worldview being evident in voting, you know, what kind of principles are important to you? In other words, what are your non-negotiables?
Well, I'm 40 years old, and for the last 10 years as I've matured as a Christian, what I've learned is that it's not the economic prosperity that's important to me. It's the moral fiber of the person running. I believe, as you've already mentioned, and the point of the whole show is that the moral obligation of our leaders, if that's in place, as our founding fathers have realized, if you've got that morality in the leadership, then the other things are going to work out for the best benefit.
Yeah, that's an interesting theory of government, Carrie. By the way, that was a theory of government that was held by and large by our founders, that men of virtue would act in a virtuous way, and that a nation would be held to a virtuous model if those who are elected demonstrated the right kind of virtues. It's interesting that that kind of conversation is so alien from our political context today. Appreciate your call, Carrie. Let's go to Jeff, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Dr. Mohler. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to agree with, you and everybody else that's been calling in. I do see a worldview choice every time we go to the poll. Every time we make a choice in life, it's a worldview worldview choice that we make. But just in the last 30 years in my lifetime, I have seen a shift in America from Judeo-Christian worldview to a pluralistic worldview, and it really burdens me. Just think of Romans 1 and how that's affecting our country, I have a real burden for our country at this point, and I think this is a significant vote.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, let me just underline that. During the opening segment of the show, I mentioned this news report that there are some leading bioethicists suggesting that persons in a persistent vegetative state could well and ethically be used as subjects of human medical experimentation or as the source of donor organs. You're exactly right. I mean, when you talk about a pluralistic worldview, you're talking about the fact that there are people in very elite positions of influence who believe this. And so you have this clash of worldviews, and the clash of worldviews is going to come out in the culture, and it's going to come out in the politics. And even if these issues individually and discreetly are not on the ballot, they're in the background. And that's a very important point. Jeff talked about the fact that we have a worldview shifting from a Judeo-Christian basis to something more pluralistic. And yes, something, generally speaking, more secularized. Very quickly, let's go to Ron Klein from Grand Island, Nebraska. Go ahead, Ron.
Hi, Albert. Hey, what I see is more people are voting sort of to pad their comfort zone. They want more money in their pocket. They want their taxes cut. They just want to live comfortable. And they really don't want to face the issues that are near and dear to God's heart, issues that really amount, that matter in the kingdom of God. And I see it as if people would search God's heart and ask God to search their hearts and open their hearts before Him and allow God to speak, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them and deal with those issues, it'd be better for us to live in a society that doesn't have as much but knows the heart of God, and that then we would go after those things which really matter to God.
Ron, that is a radical suggestion, and it's a lot for us to think about. We'll be right back. This is the Albert Miller Program. Welcome back. We're talking about what is underlying the news reports, what's underlying the election and the political process. We're not looking at the prognostications about who's going to control Congress. We're talking about what controls the American heart. Let's go to David, listening on WTBN in Tampa, Florida. Go ahead, David.
Yes. Which how you vote certainly does imply what you what your values are, but I think there's another dimension to this in that it also shows how well you've thought through the voting, the decisions you're making. Someone could have a nice sparkling smile and say things that sound really great. I was listening to my own local station here in the last hour, and there was this ad for some lady who was saying, you know, pro-life isn't just about abortion, it's about the war in Iraq. And whether you agree or disagree with the war in Iraq, I think it's important to think through the decisions we make. A lot of people make bad decisions, I think, because they make emotional decisions. Someone sounds like they're saying really nice, sweet things, and they don't think through the consequences sometimes of how they're voting, what's really going to happen from that.
Yeah, absolutely, David. I think that's a very, very legitimate point. There are a lot of people out there, if you ask them why they voted the way they voted, they might be embarrassed to say. Frankly, they might not even know. You know, I think we'd be shocked to think if we realized the superficiality of an awful lot of the decisions that are made. You know, if you walk into a major supermarket these days, how many different brands of mayonnaise can you buy? You know, how many different varieties of soup? People don't have to invest a lot of decision-making in that. You know, I like this one, I don't like that one. We buy this because of the packaging, we buy that because of the brand name or whatever. You walk into the voting booth, I think there are a lot of people who probably, just as you suggest, David, have a very superficial understanding of the whole process. And they like the way this one looks, they like the way this one sounds, or just tired of seeing this guy on television. You know, that is not a sophisticated and faithful exercise of the stewardship of a vote. The phone number is 877-893-8255. There's still time for you to call. What is the diagnosis that is revealed by this election? Every election is like an X-ray right into the soul of a nation. What does this tell us about the deep worldview commitments of Americans? We're going to learn a lot about our neighbors. I had someone today tell me I was just shocked driving down the street to see some of my own neighbors and see the signs in their lawns. That was just shocking to me when I saw evidently what's reflected in that. Well, what was this person doing? The person speaking to me was saying, I look at those signs and I can make certain inferences about the worldview of the persons in that home. Sometimes it's like my wife will speak about her amazement following a car in traffic and she'll see the bumper stickers. You know, I was born once and that was enough, all this kind of stuff, the anti-pro-life, pro-abortion kind of stuff you see. And some cars are just plastered with it. And you say, boy, just do a little quick worldview analysis of the person in that car. Some pretty scary stuff out there. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're talking about worldview analysis of the 2006 election. By the way, one of my frustrations in any election season like this is that the conversation we're having right here doesn't happen on a wider basis. You actually don't have many people talking about the worldview issues at stake. Instead, all you have is the input from pollsters and surveys and all the rest, and it's reduced to political science and sociology. We're the people who have to look deeper than that. Let's go to McEwen, Tennessee, where Jeremy's on the line calling from WHCB. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, Dr. Mueller, I know that some folks, they have more faith in the government than they do in God in providing for them.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there are some people in this country who've been trained by their political philosophy to think that the government can solve all the problems, that the government is supposed to be the source of the good life and all the rest. And, you know, there are a lot of things government's responsible for in Scripture. Just read Romans 13. Read the New Testament. It's responsible for national security and for the upholding of justice. But we now look to government for a whole lot more. You're exactly right, Jeremy. And that is especially true from the mid-20th century in the United States forward. Of course, during that same time period, you have the rise of the welfare state throughout much of Western Europe. Now the big issue is they're not even producing enough babies to uphold that social welfare system they put into place. Great call, Jeremy. I appreciate that point. Let's go to Bruce calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, real quick, Dr. Mohler, my concern is Americans are very easily manipulated. I look at the content and quality of the political ads, and to think that something like that could persuade me is scary. Number two, I look at what Americans read, and I gauge that by what they show at the checkout counter at a grocery store, and I'm afraid most Americans don't go much farther than Soap Opera Digest.
So you don't think you've been abducted by an alien, Bruce? I know what you mean when you look at those tabloids. It is scary stuff. Bruce, you make an extremely important point about how superficial people are and when you point to the ads. For instance, let me just give you a data point on this. I saw a poll just this week indicating that well over 95% of Americans say that they hate negative ads, the slam, character assassination, negative ads. And yet, any political scientist will tell you it is the most effective form of political advertising. So you have thousands of people, millions literally across the country, seeing these ads and saying, I hate these ads and I won't be moved by them. But the actual result of an election indicates that many of these people are indeed motivated by the very ads they say have no effect on them. And it is because it's an emotional response. It's just a superficial response. Bruce, you're right when you nail us as being skin deep. And, you know, I often wonder when I see people voting, you know, do you have any consistent worldview? Did anything of a conscious thought about your vote drive you to this place? Or have you just walked in to mark a ballot to vote for who looks like you think the candidate ought to look, sounds like you think the candidate ought to sound? And have you just decided that you're going to be for this guy because of some partisan affiliation or all the rest? Where are the worldview issues here? Where are the principles coming together here? Bruce, I appreciate very much your call. Americans easily manipulated? Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things, by the way, our worldview helps us to understand. In other words, the Christian worldview, the biblical worldview, actually helps us to understand why persons are so easily manipulated. It's because we do, as a fallen race, often prefer the lie to the truth. And furthermore, we are easily susceptible to flattery. We are very vulnerable to being manipulated by sight and sound and image and message. You know, it doesn't take a flim-flam man coming into River City to sell you something that's false. Sometimes it's just an advertisement that hits your heart the right way, and the next thing you know, you're thinking thoughts you otherwise never would have thought. We can't underplay or underestimate the power of the media in this, and I think that's a big factor in the 2006 mid-year election. I'll be back with some final thoughts in just a moment. This has been a conversation worth having, intelligent Christian conversation about what's even more important than the politics. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. I know a lot of you are going to be up tonight watching the television set just to try to find out what's happening. And on almost all the networks, there's going to be a lot of attention to this. And if it deserves it. It's that important. What we're watching here is the drama of democracy at work. You tired of the politics? Well, you don't need to tire of it tonight. You need to watch tonight. And I want to tell you some specific things to look for. I'm not telling you about races to watch. I want to tell you about issues and patterns to watch for. First of all, watch what happens to marriage. That's a big issue. You have eight states with marriage amendments or various measures having to do with marriage. Now, remember, just 2 years ago, in the year 2004, you had 17 states dealing with this. And those 17 states dealt with it overwhelmingly, unanimously, in favor of identifying marriage as the union of a man and a woman. And in every one of these states, by a huge percentage, even in the northwestern state of Oregon, by a very huge percentage. Now, 2 years later, it looks like there could be a significant change. There are eight states with measures. We're going to be watching tonight to see where that goes. It's going to tell us a lot about the American mind, the American soul, and the American heart on marriage. Four states dealing with various abortion-related issues. We'll find out a lot about where America is on the sanctity of human life. And, you know, there are different ways to look at this. You could have a pollster that's walking door-to-door just asking American adults, what do you think about this? That doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the political reality. What matters to the political reality is who votes. And so we'll find out where voters are tonight. That's also very interesting. It's not necessarily where America is. It's where America's voters are on these issues. We're going to watch other issues as well. Of course, Christians have a stake in everything from the war in Iraq to taxation and immigration policy. There are many things going on with that. And the partisan equation that has to do with the Republicans and the Democrats and who controls Congress, that's tied to larger worldview issues as well. You're talking about two political parties that by their own admission and self-advertisement indicate they hold two very divergent worldviews. Christians cannot afford to be co-opted by any political party. We can't afford to idolize the political process. But we cannot fail in our responsibility to know that our political life is a part of our discipleship. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are bound to be his followers in every arena of our life. We can't act like politics is all of a sudden the secular exception, where we walk out of our Christian responsibility and here answer to nothing but the political process. We are responsible for our votes. We are responsible for how we evaluate the demands of justice and righteousness and mercy and love, things that you don't often hear debated in the political process. We have to determine what following Jesus Christ requires of us in the political process, and we're the people who know that in the end, politics can't save us. That may be an important thing to remember tonight as you watch the returns. Politics matters, but politics can't save us. I'll be back tomorrow for Ask Anything Wednesday on the Albert Miller Program. Get ready to ask your question. We'll talk about what's on your mind.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmiller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmiller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.